Okay, it's 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Good evening. Welcome to a regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Facilities Committee, Wednesday, June 9th. My name is Allison Leary, a city councilor at large from Ward 1, and I chair the committee. With me at the beginning of the meeting, members of the committee include Councilor Andrea Kelly from Ward 3, Councilor David Kalis from Ward 8, Councilor Mark Laredo from Ward 7, and Councilor Lenny Gentile from Ward 4. And I'm just going to check to see if anyone else has joined us from the committee. And that looks like not quite yet. I know some people had a meeting right before this, so they'll probably join us shortly. So we're also joined by Jonathan Yeo, our Chief Operating Officer. I see Mr. Morse, our commissioner. He'll be here later for another item. And Luke Taverna from engineering. So let me introduce the first item. This is Eversource Energy petitioning for a grant of location to install approximately 39 feet of conduit in a southwesterly direction from an existing manhole located about 156 south of Royce Road to a property line at 34 Morton Road. And this is in Ward 2. This is item 191-21. It's also a public hearing. Ms. Galloway, would you like to introduce this item for us?
Sure. My name is Phyllis Galloway, and I am a right-of-way agent at Eversource Energy. I almost said electric. And as was foresaid, we're requesting to install approximately 39 feet of conduit in a southwesterly direction from the existing manhole 28603 located 156 feet south of Royce Road to the property line at 34 Morton Road. This work is necessary to provide electric service to 34 Morton Road, which is a new home.
Okay. Service to a new home.
Yes.
Does anyone from the committee have any questions on this item? I don't see any. I'm going to open the public hearing. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak on this item? Please either raise your hand by going to reactions and clicking on raise hand, or you can wave and I'll look for you if you're on camera. I don't see anyone, so I'm going to close the public hearing. And I just say we've been joined by Councillor Deborah Crossley and by from Ward 5 and from Councillor Vicki Danberg from Ward 6. So I would entertain a vote to approve from the committee.
Motion to approve.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any abstentions or any nays? Okay. Seeing none. The motion passes. Next item. This is Eversource Energy for a grant of location to relocate and install a utility pole with a hip and anchor wire. It's right in the middle of the driveway at the new storage facility on Newtonville Ave. I actually went and took a look at it the other day. It's in a very inconvenient place. Ms. Galloway, would you like to speak on this item?
We plan on we're relocating and installing a hip guy and anchor guy at a jointly owned pole 2431 in a westerly direction from its current location, 17 feet in front of 255 to 257 Newtonville Avenue, and also to install a second hip and anchor guy for Bayo Pole 59/1 in a northerly direction, 10 feet from its current location at the intersection of Eastside Parkway and Newtonville Avenue.
Okay, thank you. Are there any, I see Councilor Laredo has his hand up.
So I certainly appreciate the need to move the pole if it's in the middle of the proposed driveway. But I do wonder about the need to install hip and anchor. Guys, what's causing the requirement for that? They're obviously an extra impediment.
Right, well, actually the poles are leaning right now, and with the equipment on it, for safety reasons, we feel that we need to add an anchor guy to straighten out the pole and also for the equipment that's on the pole.
So it sounds like the pole is overloaded.
It looks like it is.
Okay. Well, I can speak to Tom Jassett in regards to that and have him get back to you, because I'm not an expert on that, but they will be glad to speak with you, Mark.
Well, I think, Madam Chair, that, you know, there's a couple issues here. One is a pure visual one. You know, these polls are frankly just unattractive. And as we strive to make our city more attractive from a physical perspective, this doesn't help. Second, if this is already an overloaded poll, it means there's a lot of stuff on there. And I just wonder if some of that stuff, and I use that generically, can be transferred elsewhere, undergrounded, or something else that would make this less obtrusive. So I would actually like to get some answers to that before we vote this out.
No problem.
Is there going to be a delay, Ms. Galloway, that's going to cause some harm to the property owner?
Yes, there will be the QSMART. Yes, we won't be able to start until we're granted permission, you know, from the council.
What's going on? Do you know what's going on in the site now, or maybe Mr. Taverna does? I don't want to impede a landowner or a user of a property here.
Council Laredo, if I could, I met with them yesterday. So if I could.
That'd be great.
So, they've been trying to move this pole since January. It's been, as you know, it's a long, difficult process. My understanding is that the guy wires would actually not be, would go from the pole. They wouldn't be impacting the sidewalk or access to the sidewalk at all. Though I would like a little more information on exactly how they're going to do that. But I don't think they're the ones that go from the pole down at an angle down into the ground.
So may I make a suggestion, Madam Chair? I don't want to, this is affecting a user of the property. They've been waiting for a long time. Ms. Galloway, do you think you could have that information to us, say, within the next week?
I sure can. I promise that.
Why don't we do this, Councillor Leary? It's not my ward, but I think if we approve this subject to second call, that will not cause any delays. And if Ms. Galloway is able to get us some information, that will help a great deal. I think that's a good way to proceed.
That's fine with me, Councillor Laredo. I am, if there are no other questions from the committee, I'm going to open the public hearing. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on this? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone who wishes to speak on this, so I will close the public hearing. So, Councillor Laredo, you have made a motion.
I'll move to approve subject to second call with the understanding that Ms. Galloway is going to get us some information within the next week about whether some of the equipment on this pole can be transferred to another pole or whether there are other remedial measures to make sure this pole is frankly, is safer.
Yeah,
actually, that's what we're trying to do right now. By adding the wires, it's going to straighten out the pole. It's going to make it look cosmetically better because it won't be leaning. So that's what we're trying to do, Mark.
No, I appreciate that, Ms. Galloway. But obviously, there's a lot of load on that pole. And if some of that can be transferred elsewhere, that might be a good idea. All I'm looking for is some professional information from your team.
Yep. And I will definitely have them reach out.
That'd be great. Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Okay. So there's a motion to approve subject to second call. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any abstentions? Any nays? Okay. That is unanimous. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Galloway, very much.
Thank you. And I will be getting back to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next item is 242-21, and this is Her Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $100,000 from the water service connections construction supplies to a water department health insurance fund year-end account balancing in the water enterprise fund. Mr. Yeo, are you going to give us a little background on this, or Ms. Sullivan?
Deputy Commissioner Shauna Sullivan will present.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hello, counselors.
So this is essentially a housekeeping item. It will allow us to close out our FY21 budget and balance it. We need additional funds in the Water Department Enterprise Health Insurance Fund, and we don't need the $100,000 in the cross connection.
Okay, just moving money around?
Just moving money around so the budget is balanced.
Okay, Council Crossley, do you have a question?
No, I'm prepared to move the item, move approval.
Okay, motion to approve has been made. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions or any nays? Okay. We have two more very similar items. 243-21, Her Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend the sum of $75,000 from the sewer service connections, part-time wages, to a sewer department health insurance to fund year-end account balancing in the sewer enterprise fund. And
essentially exactly the same item, but for the sewer enterprise fund, it will allow us to balance our FY21 budget for sewer enterprise.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'm prepared to move the item.
Okay, thank you, Councilor Denberg. So Councilor Denberg has made a motion to approve. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions? Any nays? If motion's approved. One more account balancing number. It's 244-21. Her Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $350,000 from the snow and ice control regular overtime account to the snow and ice rental vehicle contractors to rebalance the snow and ice control expenditure account. And Ms. Sullivan, this is also the same thing, right?
It's very similar. It will allow us to represent our actual expenditures for each account. So we and close out our contracts for the year for snow and ice.
Madam Chair, I'm prepared to move this item.
Okay, Councilor Danberg has made a motion to approve. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any nays or any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Have a great meeting.
Thank you. So we are now going to be joined with the Programs and Services Committee to discuss item 237-21. And this is Her Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to move forward with the feasibility phase of the Countryside Elementary School and the acknowledgement the city will expend not more than $1,200,000, which is anticipated to be reimbursed by the Massachusetts School Building Authority. Okay.
Councilor Leary, I haven't had any members besides Councilor Humphrey of Programs and Services join yet, so I'd maybe give them a minute to end their meeting.
Madam Chair, I just came over from Programs and Services, and Councilor Chair Crinsman was under the impression that this item was not beginning until 7:30, so I just happened to tune in. Everyone else was told to come at 7:30. I can try texting him now, but I don't know.
Madam Chair, could we just take up the next item and then hopefully dispose of that in 15 minutes or so?
Yes. But... there is also, let me just see who's joining us for that. There's also Ms. Berwick wanted to join us for that item.
I believe she was advised to join after the
yes,
Countryside School business at about 8:00 or so, right?
Yeah.
I'm texting everybody now.
So could we take a 3-minute break, and I'm going to see if I can get Ms. Berwick here, okay.
We're going to do that, or is Programs and Services going to hop over?
They're under the impression that they're going to not join until 7:30, and we've got 15 minutes. If we want to check with Council, I think we need just a couple of minutes to figure it out. Yeah, okay. So what? If anyone needs a bathroom break or wants to get some water, this is the time to do it.
Not after 15 minutes, Chair Larry.
Madam Chair, I just texted Ginny Farrelly. If anyone has an additional way to get to her, please be my guest.
For which item?
Which item is Ginny here for?
What did you? Why did you reach out to Ginny Fairley, Vicky?
Is she
not Ann Berwick? Is who we were talking about.
Say it again.
We were looking for Ann Berwick to join us on the.
Ann Berwick. I'm sorry. I'll text Ginny back. Okay. Somebody else text Ann Berwick. Oh, yeah. Ann Berwick just texted me back that she's logging on right now.
Yes, I had that conversation with her just a second ago. So, and I texted the chair of
program. Hi, Councillor Leary. I apologize about that. That was my misunderstanding, but I think we're here now. Oh, let's see. I see one, two, three of us. Pam and
we were just
going to be joining.
I just texted you, Chair Crinspin. We were going to take up item 294.20 first.
Ann Berwick has just come on for the next item because we didn't hear from you guys.
The programs and services might be very interested in this item. Probably haven't.
Yes, in fact, everybody. I think everybody should stay on.
Councilor Crinspin?
Yeah, I mean, I'd prefer to do the joint item first, but.
This is the problem with these joint meetings.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Chair
Lurie, why don't we do the joint item first since we have seven other councillors or however many are here from the other committee. Apologize to Ms. Berwick and let's go on.
Councillor Lurie, I believe there's only three members of programs and services here right now.
Yeah, that's what I was just checking, Councilor Laredo.
Is Ms. Berwick on?
I'm here with Emily.
Yeah, she is.
She is.
So there are
one with Councilors Wright and Norton.
Which that means there's four members from Programs and Services here, and we only had five tonight. Three are actually absent. So
let's go.
We're here.
Okay, Ms. Berwick, I'm sorry. I guess we're going to take up the other item because we've just had a bunch of members of Programs and Services to join us. And
okay, no worries.
Can you join us? You could either keep on or join us a little bit later. It's good to know that you're ready at a moment's notice.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me introduce the joint item. It's 237-21, Her Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to move forward with the feasibility phase of the Countryside Elementary School and the acknowledgement that the city will expend not more than $1,250,000, a portion of which is anticipated to be reimbursed by the Massachusetts School Building Authority, the MSBA. So who would be introducing this item for the two committees?
Commissioner Morris is here tonight.
Okay.
Hello, Council. Thank you very much for having me tonight. I will be efficient. I would love to say that this is purely housekeeping, as Shauna did, but it's a little more than that. Not terribly more. For anybody that's been around the block a few times here, they are keenly aware that this is a prerequisite of the eligibility period for MSBA. The paperwork and backup that you see in your packet tonight, most of it is form information that is non-negotiable from MSBA. If we want to move forward on the Countryside School project and we want to accept their portion of the project funding, we have to take this vote. It is one step in moving through the eligibility period, ultimately so that we can go before the MSBA board and ideally get invited into the feasibility period, the next phase. Require the legislative branch in cities and towns to vote to approve the or acknowledge this step, because ultimately in especially in town structures, you can have the board of selectmen in many towns would vote the SOI, and then without this step they may very well not see the project again until suddenly they are asked to support the full construction funds. So this is MSBA's way of making sure there are check-ins along the way to make sure that the legislative body still agrees with moving forward with the project. So with that said, the only backup tonight that is a little more unique, although again, for folks that have been around a while, they've seen it all before, we have the financial breakdown of the various categories that make up feasibility. Thank you very much, Mr. Valcarci, on tonight, and Arthur Cabral, who's here as well. They are the same categories that we used for Ainge Reserve and Cabot. They are escalated at 3% annually based on the feasibility funding of $1 million for the Cabot School back in 2013. That brought us up to just shy of $1.25 million. We rounded it up and that's where we're at. I also remind people every time I come before the City Council, requesting support to move into the feasibility phase, the vast majority of the questions that you may be, hankering to ask tonight, my answer will be that's the point of the feasibility study. We make no assumptions. We go in eyes wide open, and we are excited to get going on this. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. We're very happy that the MSBA is supporting us with this. We're excited to engage with the Countryside neighborhood, the Countryside School. We've already started to form our building committee. We have community representatives, school committee, city council representatives, and we are going to get started very, very soon. We're going to use the same exact process that we've used for all the other projects. So the structure will be the same. The communications will be the same. We'll have an owner's project manager, and we will roll right through. We will evaluate the site. We will evaluate ad rental. We will evaluate new construction. The only thing we do know, two early things we know about the site that I will share with the group. The entire parcel is deeded school land. That being said, we are certainly sensitive to trying to maintain as much open space as exists there now. But again, I will say it's a delicate balance, as you all know, when we get into site planning. The only other thing that we are quite confident of is that the Countryside School site abuts not only the brook, but also the wetlands. So conservation is going to be a major element. I look at it as a major opportunity. I think from a stormwater, from an environmental standpoint, it's going to be a tremendous amount of work. But we've already started laying the foundation, no pun intended, on that front. And we look forward to using this as a model for how we can creatively address stormwater with some kind of non-traditional means, similar to, you know, the rain gardens that you saw, for example, over at the Zerva School. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any and all questions to the extent that I can.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. So I see two hands up. Councillor Gentile.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Josh, I just have really one question. Can you just refresh my memory on where we are for a reimbursement rate from the state, and is it typically the same rate, reimbursement rate for feasibility and, you know, then construction?
So the feasibility rate is typically just shy of 40%, high 39s. It is, it's consistent throughout the project once they set that rate. For feasibility, it is, that rate is applied to the full $1.25 million. It's the same rate for construction, but unlike feasibility and the design process, in construction, there are elements that are excluded costs. So therefore the rate, the reimbursement rate is the same, but because some items are included, some offsite, for example, costs, that percent reimbursement is based on just the eligible costs.
And are we seeing the governor and the legislature, you know, fund the program fully to the point where we can expect to get the rate that we were originally promised? Has that been the case with other, you know, our other projects and hopefully with this one?
Yes. So we've never seen MSBA change the rate after they have assured us the rate. My understanding is that their bonding is quite strong. They are funded, I believe, out of the Massachusetts state sales tax, which has remained actually pretty, bless you, Councilor Laredo, which has remained quite strong throughout the pandemic. So my understanding is that they're financially in a very strong position. And I know from other communities who are in the last cycle, who were brought in essentially 6 months, 8 months, 9 months ahead of us, they had no issues with their reimbursement rates changing. I know because my children's school out here in Maynard was selected by MSBA as well.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Gentile. Councilor Laredo.
So thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner Morrison. And we've been through this now in a number of projects, so I won't try to delve into details that I know you rightly don't have the answers to. But a couple of big picture questions. Are you confident or reasonably confident as we sit here today that the building will be located somewhere on the current Countryside site?
So that is the point of the feasibility study. But what I will say is that on every project, whether it be MSBA or not, anytime we're looking at a major addition renovation or new construction, well, I suppose not addition renovation, but anytime we look at a new construction project, we do a site evaluation and a site search. So same thing, we would develop a matrix that identifies what we're looking for to support the Countryside School program and the Countryside School District. We would evaluate various sites throughout the district and then rank them accordingly. I don't want to, anybody listening from the Countryside School District, I don't want to scare anybody. This is just commonplace. We do it on all of our major projects. But it is part of the process and something that is recommended through the MSBA process as well.
No, I understand and appreciate that's essentially standard operating procedure. Even if your full intent is to stay exactly where you are, you still need to go through the exercise. Second, assuming that the project stays on site, do you foresee at this point any need to acquire any additional land in order to build a school on site?
Well, no, I would say is a short answer. I think it's a pretty good sized site. Again, it's got some challenges with conservation, but I think the bigger issue would be we're kind of landlocked. So the only parcels we would buy would be wetlands, a brook, or public streets.
Probably none of those are particularly helpful.
Not so much.
That's great. Looking forward to moving this along, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councilor Laredo. Councilor Kelly.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm happy to move to approve this item when you think it's time for that. There wasn't another hand after me, so I was going to do it, but I now see two Councilor Crossley's hands. So.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Councilor Crossley.
Oh, thank you. I guess I'll be really quick. This is my school. I was there for 11 years between my two children, and I know the school really well. In particular, I know the basement and the sub-basement. It's one of the deepest basements I think I've ever seen, especially since it's in water. And I'm imagining that rather than looking for other sites, I'm hoping there's a drier portion of the site that we might consider, you know, different configurations of this site. And I'm sure we will be during feasibility because that would make total sense. And that we won't be contemplating a double layer basement in the new school. Because that made no sense at all. And the building was constantly wet, literally full of water in the sub-basement during a lot of the school year, except winter, I guess. But anyway, I'm thrilled this is moving forward. This school has needed some TLC for a very long time. And that's all I want to say. I'm ready to vote for it.
Okay. We still have a few more hands up. Councillor Kalis, your turn.
Yeah, very happy about this. One question, Commissioner Morse, is during feasibility, is that when you determine if it's going to be addition versus new building, or has that already been determined?
Oh, no, it has not been determined yet. That would be part of the analysis.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, Councillor Ryan.
Yeah, I'm very happy about this, too. Just wanted to clarify something that the second sub-basement was for a civil defense shelter, and that's why it's so deep. Thank you.
Well, they did a great job with that, I can promise you.
Yeah.
So in public facilities, Councillor Kelly has moved approval.
I have a quick question.
Oh, yes, I didn't see your hand up. I'm sorry.
I was wondering, so how big is the school going to be built for? Do you have that or what you're thinking about? How many people, how many classrooms, what square feet, how many stories?
So that is all going to be determined in feasibility. Right now, part of the eligibility period, one of the other requisites is that Newton Public Schools develops their educational program. That has to be submitted to the MSBA, reviewed. They send comments back, so we're not quite there yet. I will say that, and again, nothing has been confirmed, but I will say that at Angers, Irvis, and Cabot, those particular schools are roughly 24 classrooms, have design enrollments of 465 students up to just shy of 500 students, and range in gross square footage of 75 to 85,000 square feet. The upper end being the ad reno at Cabot because it's a little less efficient.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Councilor Wright. Chair Crinspan, so I will take a vote in public facilities. I don't see any other hands up, and then you can take your vote.
Yep, go for it.
So we've moved approval by Councilor Kelly. So all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any abstentions? Or any nays? Okay, it's approved unanimously in public facilities.
Thank you. And in programs and services, do I have a motion on 237-21, President Albright?
I'll move approval.
Thank you, Madam President. President Albright has moved approval of 237-21. No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. That is 5-0 in programs and services. Thank you. With that, by the way, programs and services, we are adjourned.
Thank you very much, counselors.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Get it.
Okay, so we're moving nicely through the agenda to this evening. So so now we will move on to item 294-20. This is Councillors Crossley, Kelly, Leary, Norton, Albright, Greenberg, Auchincloss, Markowitz, Noel, Danberg, Kalis, Downs, Laredo, and Humphrey, requesting a discussion with the sustainability team to consider creating an ordinance that may require and or encourage the use of efficient electric technology for heating, cooling, hot water, cooking, and other appliances in new and substantially renovated buildings. We held this on May 5th, 21. So let's jump into this discussion. And let me just check if Ms. Berwick is here.
I am.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Berwick, for being here. We apologize for the little miscommunication earlier.
No problem.
So would you like to kick off the discussion on this item?
And did you want me to talk about the actual petition and
ordinance? Just very briefly. The point, we're really working on scheduling a public hearing for June 23rd on the following item. And I just wanted to see the committee was given a draft of the ordinance as well as a draft of the proposed home rule petition for discussion. Just wanted to quickly see if there if any members of the committee had any questions about any of them or needed any additional information.
Well, Madam Chair, but if we're going to introduce the materials into the meeting, I think we need a motion to do so since they were provided after the 48-hour window. I'll move to approve that we accept the materials on electrification.
Thank you, Councillor Crossley. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Okay. Any abstentions or any nays? Okay. So we have the material in front of us. I just wanted to put this before the committee so there was to have some discussion about the idea, which we had discussed the idea of a public hearing in prior meetings. But I didn't want to just, I wanted to have any feelings from the committee about the items to be discussed. So Councilor Laredo.
So I just want to echo Councilor Baker's constant and appropriate refrain. I want to understand what the process is going to be here. So is it your expectation, Councilor Larry, that tonight we're going to set a public hearing, the public is going to have before it both the draft home rule petition and the draft ordinance to comment on, and then after the public hearing, we're going to take a vote in committee regarding the home rule petition and whether to ask the full council to send it to the state legislature? Is that your plan?
Yes, thank you, Councilor Laredo. I'm sorry that I wasn't clear on my intention. You put it very well. Yes, that is my intention.
So at the appropriate time, I'm happy whenever you want to suggest that you set the public hearing, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Councilor Crossley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to fill this out a little bit. So I think we met about a month ago in committee to discuss this item. At which point I believe we knew we were advised to submit the a draft ordinance along with the petition to the State House. And although we talked about having a public hearing, we didn't commit to having a public hearing before we did that. Upon reflection and with the subcommittee meeting a couple of times and a lot of back and forth with Ms. Berwick and her working with the law department to draft, you know, produce a draft ordinance, we and the mayor as well, who we heard from through Ms. Berwick, thought that we should have a public hearing much sooner and do some significant outreach to stakeholders, which includes a lot of the building community, which is underway, and perhaps Ms. Berwick can speak to that a little bit more detail. We did actually notice the public hearing because today is 2 weeks before we intend to have it so that we don't go past the end of June. So the next meeting of public facilities will include this hearing. And we were not planning to actually discuss the particulars of the ordinance tonight, but we have plenty of time if folks would like to do that because the materials are before us, but rather to discuss them after we hear from the public. And the public now has access to these materials. They are posted on the public facilities website.
Thank you, Councillor Crossley. Yes, and I know we intend to throw a very wide net to get as many people involved in the public hearing as we can, including many contractors. Councillor Kalis.
Yeah, I'm not showing myself only because my connection is really weak, and so I just don't want to be kicked off. So if I am kicked off, just know that it's not intentional. But I'm very glad that Councillor Crossley just spoke and talked about, and you did as well, Madam Chair, about casting a wide net, making sure that we have the public involved, because I feel like this is a significant move, a significant ordinance potentially, and I do feel that we need to make sure as many people know about it as possible. And the worst to me is that people think it's rushed and that it's being pushed through versus actually having good debate where there's going to be people that might be against it and people that are for it, but that more people understand it and ask, well, why? And that general sense of building awareness to me is so important. And, you know, you've Councilor Crossley, you've been more in the weeds with it, but I just wonder if we take more time to have the public hearing, or we have two, just to make sure that the public is fully informed, and we have our opportunity to make sure they're informed. That's just how I'm feeling about it. And you know, I'm willing to go and just do it in 2 weeks and that be it. But my preference is that we really make this a larger thing, because it's a real shift in behavior, and I'd rather have people asking why and thinking about it and affecting more people in that way than just rushing. That's all.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Kalis. Those points are well taken.
May I respond?
Of course, Councillor Crossley.
Thanks. I just wanted to pick up on a couple of things that Councillor Kalis said. First, I just want to make sure it's clear to everyone that this public hearing is not a required public hearing, nor are we going to be voting on the ordinance itself subsequent to it. We will be voting to go ahead and submit the home rule petition with the draft ordinance to the state legislature, and then they will take whatever time they choose to consider it, along with at least three others that have been submitted to date from three other communities, Brookline, Arlington, and Lexington. A reason we would then, if let's say the state comes back to us in a few months and says, okay, great, we're going to give you the authority to do this, then we take up the ordinance in committee and hold another public hearing, and maybe more than one, because then we have the permission to do this. But the reason to start a public process now is, as you said, Councillor Kalis, to begin to cast that net and begin to inform and hear from the community. Again, this is only for new construction and major renovation, where then there's a definition in the ordinance about what that means. But It is going to, I mean, there's no way this is going to happen quickly in any case. And certainly we could continue to, you know, maybe we can figure out a way to continue a dialogue on this subsequent to the public hearing, even if we go ahead and send it to the state legislature. There's a lot of learning to do for a lot of folks. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Crossley. I mean, that was very well said. I do think we're really at the beginning of a long process. And I think it's important that we start it now. And I was wondering if Ms. Berwick had anything to add to your comments about the process and about the education campaign and the plans for including many people who this will directly impact, as well as, of course, homeowners in Newton, but also consultants and contractors that work in the city.
Yeah, sure. First of all, I just wanted to say, Councillor Crossley mentioned three communities, Arlington, Lexington, and Brookline, that have already submitted home rule petitions on this with ordinances or bylaws to the legislature. And I expect there are going to be quite a few more. I know Acton is preparing to go ahead in that regard, and I think a number of others as well. A number of communities have organized themselves into something called the Electrification Accelerator, which is being facilitated by the Rocky Mountain Institute. And I think all those communities are planning to move ahead with home rule petitions. So we're certainly not isolated in this. In terms of outreach, yeah, we've been working really hard on that. And I guess the we is a lot of it. A lot of the work is being done by the energy coach, Leora Silks. So Leora has been working with the databases of ISD purchasing and planning to get contact information for as many builders, architects, lawyers, contractors who frequently do business with the city as she can find contact information for. And so, and Cassidy, correct me if I'm wrong, but Cassidy has agreed to email notices about the public hearing, assuming you decide to have a public hearing, to all of the people who Leora is able to identify. So yeah, we're very, and also we will of course notify the environmental groups who are quite concerned about this issue. So I'll just stop there in case you have questions at this point.
Thank you, Ms. Berwick. I am not seeing any other hands up at this point. If anyone has any other questions for Ms. Berwick or any, Councillor Gentile.
So I wanted to mention that I'm pleased to hear Councillor Crossley say that we're not going to be expected to vote on this, on the 23rd, for a couple of reasons. Even the best of efforts to contact the many people that'll be interested in this, it's a lot of work to think that we're going to reach as many people as we would like in basically 2 weeks. So we're going to need some time. And as you point out, there'll be other meetings on this. So I think, certainly that's a good thing. Especially since the docket item talks about encouraging and or requiring. And I've looked at this just very quickly. I was working on Riverside today in my on my government work part of the day. So I didn't spend too much time on this, but as I read it, it is a requirement. This is not encouraging, but it's a requirement, if I read it correctly, for electrification in place of all fossil fuels. So that is obviously a significant change. So again, I'm glad. Because and then as I also read the ordinance, it looks like there are several areas that need to be that are left sort of open ended and need to be filled in, which is understandable. And so I assume after the public hearing that, we'll be having that kind of discussion. So as you all know, I have my reservations about an absolute requirement. I am very much in favor of, I think the Energy Coach program is a great idea. I think it's great that the people that have volunteered to help, all of those kinds of efforts are to be applauded and I support. I just kind of draw the line when we talk about absolutes, black and white, it has to be done as opposed to encouraging it. So I'm glad to see that the plan is to take the appropriate amount of time, to get through this whole item. So I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Councillor Gentile. Appreciate your comments there. Yes, it is the beginning of a process, and we do have to get, send in our home rule petition to the legislature. So this will be quite a bit of time for us to include more outreach and education. So I'm not seeing any other questions. Hands
actually, Madam Chair, can you just clarify something for me? So
certainly,
just to the point that you just made, is the plan to submit the home rule petition in only a home rule petition prior to an actual ordinance, or is the plan to submit both of them at the same time?
So we would I believe we did discuss submitting both of them at the same time. Yes, the draft ordinance and the home rule petition.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like you just sort of submit a general home rule petition asking for permission to do this, and then you actually formalize it later. But to me, it would make sense to do both at the same time. So I wasn't sure.
Yes, I believe I went on in a discussion with Ms. Berwick. She told me that the legislator does prefer having the ordinance along with the home rule petition.
Yeah. So if it's okay, if I
please go ahead.
Yeah, so we weren't sure about that either and asked our legislators, and they said they prefer to have the ordinance with the home rule petition. That is, in fact, what Brookline, Arlington, and Lexington did also.
Okay. Thank you very much. Councilor Crossley, is your hand still up? Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yes, because I know that folks haven't had a chance to really look carefully at the ordinance, and it's been a long while since we looked at the Brookline ordinance. This one's actually, I think, much shorter and simpler to read. But a key to it, and particularly to Councilor Gentile's point and concern about the degree of the mandate, is that there's a lot of exceptions written into it. So to be cognizant of limitations on technology and so forth, and some of them are written with respect to, viable alternatives, which of course will change over time. So I think when folks get a chance to look at the ordinance as being a requirement for new construction and major renovation, but also that it allows for exceptions, for example, for indoor and outdoor cooking is one, and outdoor emergency generators is another, for example. When you look at that list, that's one of the things that we'll need to be discussing in detail to make sure we feel that that's the right list. And also just to sort of, that's something we want to hear from people about. Who are stakeholders and particularly in the building trades. So that's
Thank
it.
You, Councilor Crossley. Councilor Laredo, I see your hand up.
It is. I just want to get a clarification from Ms. Berwick. I certainly understand why the legislature wants to see a draft of at least what we're intending, but I just want to be clear that we're not bound to that draft or the exact language, and some of the items that Councilor Crossley talked about debating back and forth will have the latitude to do that. Is that accurate?
Yes. I mean, obviously we have to write the home rule petition with that in mind to allow ourselves flexibility. So for example, the home rule petition itself does not include cooking. And if we wanted then in the ordinance to include cooking, we wouldn't be able to unless the home rule petition actually included that.
I'm just thinking ahead. I actually suggest that we might want to be broader just so we have the flexibility to if, and it's a big if, as we deliberate, we change our minds on certain things. We have the ability to do it. Cooking may not be the right example, but there may be others that you, Ms. Berwick, and Councillor Crossley and the subcommittee have discussed that you're deliberating or you're not, you haven't reached consensus on. I'd want to have the latitude to put that in without having to do another home rule petition. So I just ask that we think about that as we draft. Yeah. Thank you.
Councilor Laredo, your point's well taken. And I think the intent would be after our public hearing to go into more discussion about those points exactly. So I'm not seeing any other hands up. And right now I'd like to have a motion to approve setting up public hearing for the 23rd.
Madam Chair, I did put my hand back up.
I'm sorry, Councilor Gentile. I thought it was just left up.
No, that's usually the case, but this time I actually put it back up. So I know you don't want to get into the substance of it, and so I'll be brief, but I did want to just make one point for along the lines, I guess, what Councilor Rado was talking about. I have no problem, you know, with exceptions, because to me, they're clear and they're concise. There's generally no gray area. It's very clear, you know, what is an exception and what isn't. But I can tell you right now, I have severe reservations about the waiver section and the language. I think that you put a commissioner of inspectional services into a very difficult position. And quite frankly, you give the commissioner too much latitude, you know, to issue waivers on something like this. I think it's a mistake. And we try to stay away from that, you know, when we pass ordinances. So I hope that, you know, I'm sure we'll have a discussion about that. But I think, you know, either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. And, you know, having one person, because that's who it would come down to, is the, you know, the commissioner deciding if someone has a particular hardship or whatever and somebody else doesn't. Too much of a gray area, and I think that it's a mistake. So but again, I don't want to get too much into the weeds on this. I'm happy to go home like everybody else, so I'll leave it there.
Okay, thank you very much, Councilor Gentile. Well, that gives us a little something to chew on for our next meeting as well, so thank you for your comments and your thoughts there. So I'd like to move approval for the public hearing, if that's the right process.
I'll move it.
Councilor Gentile moves approval for a public hearing on this item for
our next June the 23rd, is it?
June the 23rd, yes.
Yes, for June the 23rd.
Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any abstentions? Any nays? Okay.
And I will move hold on the item.
Thank you, Councillor Crossley.
You just should ask all in favor of hold, Madam Chair.
Yes. All those in favor of holding the item, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any abstentions? Any nays? Okay. The item is held. So that concludes our business for this evening. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Enjoy the rest of the evening.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes, you all. Good night.